If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids, ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome back to Life's Key 3, the kids version, where I focus primarily on helping equip moms and dads, caregivers, and even educators who are engaged in the work of raising empowered kids. And all of this comes from a faith-based perspective. But even if you're not a Christian, there are still principles and recommendations and insights on here that can be of value to you. If you haven't yet, make sure to hop on over to the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for my weekly e-letter, High Impact. Just a few clicks and you will be able to join the community. And every week you're going to get a newsletter that is rich with insights and recommendations and information and encouragement in life's key three areas, that we can become and help our children to be spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart. You know, I've been walking through the book of Nehemiah, and while sometimes I'm going to talk about other themes here specifically on this version for kids, there's truth and principles in this book as its focus on leadership that we definitely can apply as parents. And I want to talk about just a few of those today. You know, as we look at the second half of chapter 14, one of the things that we see here is Nehemiah is dealing with an emergency situation. He has his crew, his people, his team, who are working on rebuilding these walls, and yet they have very real enemies who do not want them to succeed. And these enemies have escalated to the point that they are threatening to physically come in and attack the workers. And Nehemiah faces that reality. This is an important principle for us as parents. We must parent with the perspective and facing the reality that our kids have very real enemies. And we need to equip our kids with the resources that they need to be able to combat the enemies that they have and that they will have in the future. As a Christian, I believe that what the Bible says, which is that our enemies are primarily in the spiritual realm. But let's just be real. A lot of that comes through people aligning themselves either by default or intentionally with the purposes and the ways and the thinking that are opposed to God and his kingdom and his righteousness. And we need to provide our children with the understanding that there are enemies who will want to take them out, who do not want them to succeed. We don't want them to go through life paranoid and suspicious of everybody, but we also want them to be aware that everybody is not going to have their best interest at heart. We want them to live in this with this balanced mindset of being able to examine when are we around and with people who have our best interest at heart, and when are we seeing people who do not want us to succeed. And what Nehemiah does here is by arming the people, some for construction and some for defense, he's dealing with the reality of life. As parents, we have this dual task. On one hand, it is to prepare our children for life. It is to foster their growth. It is to help them build lives, just as the Jews were rebuilding the walls in the city of Jerusalem. We want to, and we have this mandate to equip them to build strong lives, to build strong cities, as it were, that will allow them to live their life in safety. And yet at the same time, we also have to equip them with the understanding They have enemies. Everybody isn't going to be out there for them and wanting them to succeed. One of the ways that we start with this when our children are actually very, very small is we teach them boundaries, but we also learn to respect their boundaries. You know, if you have a child who is shy, for example, and is, you know, is a young child, and you're wanting them to run up and to say hi, even if it's to someone that you know is a safe person, and you force them to do that beyond what they are comfortable doing, you're violating their internal boundary. You're teaching them to override what is within them. I'm not talking about just basic respect. But you should never require a child to go up and give someone a hug or a kiss or anything like that that is not comfortable for them. Doing that says, don't pay attention to what's inside of you. You have to conform to what is external to you and what somebody bigger and has more power in your life is telling you what to do. Now that can seem small, and no, you know, if you have told your kid you have to go give, you know, Aunt Ellen a goodbye hug, you haven't warped them for life. But I would encourage you to stop that practice and to take seriously teaching them to respect their internal boundaries, to pay attention to that. That doesn't mean that Aunt Ellen is not a safe person. But it's important for children to be able to learn to discern safety for themselves, to be able to learn for themselves and to learn to pay attention. Who do they feel is safe and who is not? Even as kids get older, if they express a concern to you about someone, even if it's minor, pay attention. Don't just blow it off. Don't just minimize it. Maybe it's not something that is particularly related to them, but it could be something that is related to another child or another individual. Now, this practice doesn't just apply to people outside your family. It also applies inside your own nuclear family. Let's say you have a couple of kids, and one is consistently feeling and expressing that they feel like their sibling is always violating their boundaries. Now, I get as a parent that it can seem like, okay, what is the big deal because your brother keeps coming over and knocking down your blocks? But when things like that become a habit and the older child is just expected to deal with it and to get over it, reframe it and think about it in this way. What if you went out into your yard and you spent this money and this time and you worked in this flower bed and you tilled up the soil and you fertilized it and you really thought about the plants and you planted all of them? Or maybe you didn't even do that. Maybe you just went to the nearest hardware store, you bought the cheapest plants you could find and you went home and you threw them in the soil. Either way, if the neighbor's dog comes over and tears up your flower bed, you are going to want to do something about it. You are going to want it to stop. Well, it can feel like that to a kid whose sibling is always tearing down their stuff. And sometimes that's an effective way for us as parents to put ourselves in our kids' shoes. And that is to think of, what would a similar situation be like for me as an adult? And the reason that we want to teach boundaries within our own family and respecting those and not just thinking, oh, well, it's no big deal. You know, I mean, it's just siblings and they'll get over it, is because we are teaching this important mindset about recognizing there are appropriate boundaries that we need to build in our lives. And even though Noah's sibling is not like this enemy, in a sense, for the kid who's building, the sibling becomes an enemy of their accomplishments. And what we've seen here in Nehemiah is Nehemiah, as the leader, faces the reality of the situation that there are very real enemies. Again, that doesn't mean you treat your siblings, you know, like your kids teach their siblings to say, oh, you know, this is my enemy. But it does mean being able to say, we need to say, this is destructive, this is not allowed, and we are going to take measures to put an end to this. Another principle that we see in the second half of this chapter is that of identifying when you put in place temporary measures and when you put in place long-term sustainable ones. Okay, hear me on this because this is incredibly important. One of the mistakes that is so easy to make as a parent, and trust me, I know because I made this mistake a lot as a parent when my kids were younger, and that is enacting policies and practices that are not going to be sustainable in the long haul. For example, when it comes to power struggles, here's the reality. You can never make another person say or not say anything. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yes, I can. Trust me, you will always lose when you accomplish something by bribery, manipulation, or force. Being able to put into practice when kids are young strategies so that you don't get into these power struggles, because you will never win a power struggle. You never will. Even if you get a kid to comply, you will not have won. If you say to a child, you cannot say that to me, want to bet? Now, maybe if they're three, you can still pick them up and physically move them into a certain place if they choose to do that. But try doing that when they're 13. It's not sustainable. It's not going to work for the long haul. So what do you do instead? You say, that is not respectful. That's not how you speak to me. Here's what you say instead. If you choose to say that again, then you say the consequence. You see, just that slight shift has moved it from being a contest of wills between you and your child, and it's been between the choices that they're going to make. That's a sustainable practice. That's something that you can continue to do throughout all of their growing up. Because when they're 13, you can say, if that's the language that you want to use, then here are the consequences for it. Because telling them, you're not going to say that to me. Oh yeah, good luck with that. Because you're never going to be able to control that in somebody else. Now, there can certainly be kind of emergency situations, just like Nehemiah was dealing with, where you do something in the short run in order to just provide safety. But you want to be very clear, hey, I'm doing this right now, but this is because there's an emergency situation here. This is not a sustainable practice, and I'm going to have an exit strategy to be able to get out of this very, very soon. Another principle that we can see here that is so incredibly important, and that is to be someone who calls your children to have capacities that they don't feel they have. Now, this doesn't mean putting pressure on them to perform in areas that they are not skilled or equipped or have no ability or training for. But it does mean constantly calling them as you are equipping them. Remember, Nehemiah does both. Nehemiah doesn't just tell people, hey, y'all are great, you're awesome, go out there and rebuild those walls. No, no, no. He has a strategy. He gives them guidance. He equips them to be able to do what he calls them to do. But part of that equipping is calling forth a courage in them so they are at least willing to try. And that's our call as parents. It is to both equip our children, to give them opportunities, to give them training, to expose them to a lot of different things so that we can see their abilities and we're able to begin to pick up patterns of things that they really enjoy and things that they seem to be really good at and things where maybe they struggle more. But as we are doing that, we're also calling forth in them a courage to be able to try new things, to stretch outside of themselves, and to be willing to engage so that they can discover that they have capacities that they didn't know they had. All right, my friend, I hope that has been helpful for you today. Again, if you haven't already, check out the website, stephaniepresents.com. Sign up for High Impact while you're there. And also make sure to check out my speaking engagements. I love being able to equip parents and educators who are in this phenomenal season of life of being able to raise up young people who are spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart. What a difference it would make if people went into adult lives skilled and strong in those three areas rather than having to spend so much of life undoing the baggage that comes because they didn't learn those things early on. Remember this because it's true. You have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.